Well, hello all. Our time has come. Welcome to the first of two Voices of Chicatella classes for 2010. My name is Paul Weber, and on March 2003, it was my honor to host the very first Voices of Chicatella class, and there have been two a year, almost every year since then. I'd like to thank Jerry Hansen and the various Chica board members and others for making it possible over the years. I'd also like to acknowledge my friend and the co-founder of Teleclass Education Series, Dr. Syed Sattar, whose birthday it is today. So if you know Dr. Sattar, perhaps you might want to send a little birthday greeting to him. I would also like to acknowledge the support and the generosity of the companies that help make these Voices of Chica teleclasses financially possible. As you can see on the second slide, this year's Voices of Chica teleclass is sponsored by Virox Technologies, 3M Canada, Gojo, Deb Group, Johnson Diversity, and Ecolab. Thanks very much to all of these fine companies. Now, the purpose of the Voices of Chica teleclasses is to inform you about what's going on at the board level and also to introduce you to some people who are really doing some interesting things. On slide 3, you can see the agenda for the next hour or so, and there are some changes to note on that slide. Due to illness, Anne Bielakowski has lost her voice, and for those of you who know Anne, that is a tragedy for her indeed. So the board update will be covered by Jerry Hansen, and Marion Yetman is also quite ill and unable to join us, so the update on the 2010 conference will be covered by Jim Gauthier. So on slide number 4, you'll see the attractive face of our Chica Canada president for 2010. However, she is unable to join us, and bringing us an update from the board, I give you Jerry Hansen. Jerry.
Thank you very much, Paul. Well, spring definitely must be coming because we've got Chica members across Canada all suffering from some kind of respiratory illness. So I guess it's a good sign that grass mold has reappeared. But I do send greetings to you on behalf of Anne Bielakowski, our president. And Anne was at the decennial this past weekend and came back with laryngitis and the respiratory illness. So I know she sends her apologies, wish she could be here, but I will do my best to represent her. Since the last Voices of Chica in September, the Chica Canada Board has met in person and has discussed and scheduled several projects. I'm going to give you a summary of just some of those initiatives. Chica Canada has been invited to participate on the study team for the ARO Point Prevalence Study. Our representatives are Felicia Lang of Surrey, BC, and Zahir Hirji of Toronto. Dr. Oscar Larios, of course, is here, and he will give more information on that project later in the teleclass. We've been working closely with the Canadian Patient Safety Institute on a couple of projects. The second CPSI Patient Safety Forum will be held in Toronto, April 12th to 14th. Chica is chairing the Infection Prevention and Control Stream, and Kathy Munford, past president, and I are co-chairing that stream. Infection Prevention and Control will be featured in the concurrent sessions. We have 6 concurrent sessions with topics ranging from antibiotic stewardship, infection control in construction, hand hygiene, staff education and communication, and CRBSIs. You can find registration information on their website, which is www.patientsafetyinstitute.com. The Hand Hygiene Challenge will be launched at the Patient Safety Forum on April 14th, along with CPSI CEO Hugh McLeod, Accreditation Canada CEO Wendy Nicol, Chica's President Anne Bielakowski will assist in the launch of the challenge and the materials available for those organizations which register for the challenge. This will all lead up to the Stop Clean Your Hands Day, which will occur on May the 5th, concurrent with the WHO Global Hand Hygiene Day. Media interviews will be held on May 5th in Toronto, at which time Anne will represent Chica Canada. Chica is partnering with CPSI and Accreditation Canada during the challenge in the month preceding Clean Your Hands Day. Chica's role will include presentation of several webinars to teach about the use of the hand hygiene audit tool. More information on the audit tool and the challenge will come through our e-blasts and on our website. A working group with CPSI, Chica, Public Health Agency, and Accreditation Canada came together in 2008 to standardize surveillance definitions for C. diff and MRSA. The definitions have now been completed, and we will be discussing with CPSI the best method to communicate the definitions. Chica Canada has been appointed to the board of the Canadian Foundation of Infectious Diseases. Ann Bielhowski and I have been appointed to the board. The role of CFID was originally to develop and administer research funds for infectious disease projects. Originally under the umbrella of AMI Canada, CFID is now an independent organization. You will probably recall that Chica worked with CFID in 2007 to develop the successful National Infectious Disease Day in Ottawa. NID, as it's now known, was planned for 2008 and 2009, but unfortunately the federal elections precluded the scheduling of meetings with legislators in Ottawa, so media blitzes were held to inform the public and election candidates of the need for research, surveillance, and human resources for both in both situations of HAI and CAIs. CFID recognizes the need to include partners from several sectors, and so Chica was invited to formalize the relationship through the board. This coming weekend, the CFID board will meet in Toronto for a strategic planning session to develop a five-year plan. Following the February meeting of the certification board, CIVIC sent us a list of Canadian CIC holders. This list was cross-checked with our own membership list, and errors in both lists were corrected. As of now, 30% of Chica members are currently certified, which interestingly matches APIC's 30% certification. Dr. Donna Morleo, Chica's Director of Education, has been working with Public Health Agency in the development of the routine practices and additional precautions education and assessment tool. A pilot workshop was held in Ottawa in September, and learning sessions have been facilitated by Chica members throughout the winter. Donna will be reporting on the results of that initiative at the conference on Novice Practitioner and Advanced Practitioner Days. The Virox Technologies Partnership increased funding for conference scholarships from $15,000 to $20,000 in 2010. About 10 days ago, the judging process was completed, and 18 applicants were chosen to receive scholarships to attend the 2010 conference in Vancouver. A new feature of the application this year was the opportunity to provide funding to three categories of ICPs: novice, having less than 2 years' experience; intermediate, 2 to 5 years; and advanced, more than 5 years. Scholarships have been awarded in all categories. We're very grateful to Virox for providing Chica members with this opportunity. We certainly wish there was more funding available, but we do recognize that we were able to fund a record 18 members this year. The Ecolab poster contest theme for 2010 and the theme for National Infection Control Week is Infection Control, It's Simple. The judging panel has chosen the winning poster, which will be unveiled at the opening ceremonies of the 2010 conference. 3M Canada continues to fund the 3M Chapter Achievement Award. The winning chapter will be announced at the opening ceremonies. In addition, 3M and Chica have partnered to develop a new award for the Champions of Infection Prevention and Control. Patterned after the APIC Heroes of Infection Control, the purpose of the award is to recognize Chica members who have given extraordinary service to the profession through ongoing or specific projects or initiatives. The 2010 champions will be announced shortly and will be acknowledged at the opening ceremonies. The Tuesday breakfast at the conference has now been designated the Breakfast of Champions, during which the winners will be given an opportunity to present a summary of the projects or initiatives which resulted in their recognition as champions. BD Canada has supported webinars and roadshows in 2008 and 2009. In 2009, three webinars on CRBSIs were held and three roadshows on MRSA C. diff were held in Halifax, North Bay, and Victoria. We will be entering into discussions with BD Canada about the future presentations. Through the support of Weber Training and its partners, we were able to offer chapter presidents a teleclass to review the relationship between the chapter and Chica Canada. This year was also the first time that we held a teleclass for chapter treasurers. From the evaluations, we can see that these are valued and appreciated. Both will be continued. And of course, we thank Paul Weber and Weber Training again for the initial concept of these Voices of Chica and for providing the conference line for us. Chica Canada is very pleased to announce that Dr. Dick Zeltman has been awarded honorary membership in Chica Canada. Dr. Zeltman will be honored at the opening ceremonies. This will bring to 13 the number of honorary members. Of those, several are still active in the profession. Their support and their advice are valued by Chica. As of November 1, 2009, Chica membership was a record 1,647. We are confident that with the benefits, services, and representation provided by Chica on behalf of ICPs, that membership numbers will steadily increase. The success of membership levels, the conferences, and the products has enabled Chica to hire a three-quarter time administrative assistant. Kelly Wagner has been performing those duties for Chica for many years. We're very pleased that she will be joining us three-quarters time in 2010 and full-time in 2011. In addition, we're able to secure the services of a distance education coordinator, Karen Dobbin Williams, and a writer graphics artist for the audit toolkit. That is Shirley McDonald, and Karen will speak more to the toolkit later. Our webmaster, Shirley McDonald, has been working with our web designer, Pamela Chalmers, to revitalize the website. The website will be freshened and made more user-friendly. An announcement of the launch of the new website will be made soon. And finally, saving the best for last, we are pleased to welcome our newest board members. Dr. Jennifer Grant of Vancouver General Hospital joins us as Director of Standards and Guidelines, following in the footsteps of Dr. Bonnie Henry, which are huge shoes to fill on very tiny feet. Karen Klinker has been reelected for a second term as Director of Programs and Projects, and we're very pleased that Karen is willing to continue the wonderful service that she's providing for Chica. And we're very pleased that Donna Weens of Saskatoon has been elected to the position of President-elect. I know that Donna is already well immersed into many Chica projects and is finding this year a busy learning experience. So all in all, it's been a very busy winter for the board and for Chica, and a very busy spring to come. If anyone does have questions, please do email us at chicacanada@mts.net, and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks, Paul.
On the next slide, you see the face of Marion Yetman, but as I said earlier, Marion is unwell and unable to join us, and in her place, Jim Gauthier, the Scientific Program Chair for the 2010 conference, is taking her place. So, Jim, over to you.
Thanks, Paul. I welcome the opportunity to talk about the conference that we've been working on so hard for the past couple of years. Most members probably just don't realize the amount of work that actually goes into getting one of these conferences organized. And again, without Jerry Hansen behind it, making sure that we get our jobs done in time, we probably wouldn't have a national conference. If you go to the next slide, we've got some pictures here of the conference hotel. The conference this year, the theme is Golden Opportunities, Soaring to New Heights. The conference dates are May 29th through till June 3rd, 2010. And the conference will be held at the Sheraton Vancouver Wall Center, which is in right downtown Vancouver. It's a lovely location. I've been to the site to see some of the meeting rooms and the actual hotel itself. The registration information for the hotel is present on the Chica Canada website. There's a link from the main page that will take you through into the conference area, and then there's also another link so that you can book your room at the center right online there. We do recommend that if you're coming down to the conference that you stay at the conference hotel because you're going to get a preferential rate there, and we will let attendees know if we actually do sell out that hotel with a list of other places that you can go to in the area. The next slide is Week at a Glance, and this indicates what we've got planned for the conference. I just want to touch on a couple of things. Unfortunately, at the bottom of the slide on the left-hand side, it says Saturday, May 29th. That is actually our interest group day where the various interest groups of Chica Canada are able to get together face-to-face with all the members and have a meeting. The meetings run anywhere from 1 hour, I believe, up to about 3 hours, depending on which group it is and what has been requested for these. Sunday is the novice and practitioner days, and we've got programs outlined. This is just the Week at a Glance, but if you go to the conference registration brochure, you'll be able to see what we've got planned for each hour of your day while you're down for this. The 31st is the pre-conference day. We've got two different streams for the pre-conference day. The first stream is on cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization. And then the second stream is actually looking at infection prevention and control issues in community health. So these are both full-day activities for you to go through and learn all kinds of information from top-notch speakers that we've lined up for these sessions. The conference officially starts on Tuesday, June 1st. We have a keynote speaker that I'll talk about in just a second. We've got poster sessions. We've got concurrent sessions to go with our plenary sessions. There's a lot of information that we will be sharing. The poster presentations, we've actually come up with 32 oral presentations, oral posters that will be presented across the 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. We also have the static poster presentations that will take place, and we're hoping to have 80 static posters put up. We're just in the process of going through all of the submissions that we have had and notifying all the people whether they've been accepted as an oral presentation or a poster presentation. So that takes us through the Wednesday and Thursday, or the Tuesday and the Wednesday, and into Thursday, where we have the Chica Canada annual general meeting and town hall breakfast, where we discuss the business of Chica Canada proper. And there's a special event that night that's not included on the next couple of pages that I just wanted to bring to your attention. Those that are staying in Vancouver to make flights on the Friday or to do further visiting in beautiful BC, there is actually a cruise that is being set up for the Thursday night. If you go to the next slide, it talks about our keynote speaker and our closing speaker. Our keynote speaker that we've lined up this year is Olympian gold medalist Marnie McBean. She's one of the few Olympians that has been decorated with gold medals in two successive Olympics, and she has 6 gold medals along with a bunch of other world medals for her rowing career that she had. I'm really looking forward to hearing her keynote address to the conference. Our closing speaker is Yvonne Camus. She's known for being not necessarily a couch potato, but she got involved in this Eco Challenge team and managed to come out and win it. The Eco Challenge has been put together by the creator of Survivor, and it's going to be a very interesting presentation as she discusses issues around designing a winning team and rising to challenges in our job. Again, she's another one of the speakers that I can hardly wait to hear what she's got to present to us as she wraps up our conference for us on the Thursday. If you go to the next slide, it talks about the activity for the June 2nd evening. We're going to have a 50s and 60s style sock hop. The band that's pictured there are called the Time Changers, I believe is the name of the group. We're going to take you right
time
back.
Benders.
Oh, Time Benders. Thanks, Jerry. So we're expecting a 50s style dress. Gentlemen, get out your blue jeans and leather jackets, and ladies, the poodle skirts are acceptable. We're looking forward to having a lot of fun. The band themselves is playing for us, organized all kind of different things, such as dance contests and things like that. You might find the odd hula hoop kicking around, but it's just a good time to come out and let your hair down. The Tuesday night that was not quite on the previous slide, we're also doing a tour of Vancouver. So for people that have never been to some of the major points in Vancouver, we've got that set up also as something else that you can register for. I think that covers most of what we've got going on at the conference. again, there's so much information that's available to you through the Chica Canada website. You can click on there and get full details of all the activities, all of the presentations that are planned for the conference. If you have any questions about it, understanding that we had some issues previously, feel free again to send them through, probably to the same address that Jerry gave you, and she can forward them along to myself or to Marion. Thank you, Paul.
Jim, at risk of putting you on the spot, can you let us know what some of the lectures are intended to be, or the speakers and topics? Do you have that handy?
I can call up some stuff here. Yeah, just a second.
So you got some pretty good stuff in there.
I'm just going down through the list of, there it is, the education program. Thanks, Paul. For the novice day, we're always trying to get information that is going to appeal to the practitioner with 2 years or less experience is sort of the cutoff that we work on. So we've got discussions around routine practices and additional precautions, outbreak management, a basic microbiology presentation to try to introduce how what has to happen from a time a swab is collected until you get a requisition at the other end, what to know about facility construction. We have a session on adult learning, and we're going to go through some case scenarios. We've got John Embill and Molly Blake working on case scenarios, discussing real situations and how they've been handled in their experience. So that'll be more of an interactive session. Our advanced practitioner day, we're trying to aim at the practitioner with 2 years experience or more. This isn't a hard and fast thing, but we're just trying to get into a little bit more detail. So we've got issues and presentations on epidemiology, how to actually read the literature and understand what is being presented to you. The scenarios, again, how to handle creative solutions to real-life situations. Routine practices and additional precautions, looking at educational tools that are being developed by both PHAC, the Public Health Agency of Canada, and Chica Canada. Looking at how to listen to feedback and understand information that you receive back from people after you've done a job one way or the other. There's going to be a session on developing champions and something on your personal strategic plan, how to get yourself set up that way. The Sterilization and Disinfection Day is covering all aspects of sterilization and disinfection. I don't think I'll flip through all of the individual ones on that. The same with the community session. We try to cover all different aspects of community infection control. I don't know if the listeners are quite aware, but each year with our pre-conference day, we try to address different interest groups. Last year, we had a half day on mental health and long-term care. This year, we're looking at community. In 2011, they'll also have another day that we'll try to draw information to a specific group. Some of the things that we're looking at in our plenary sessions, we have a day set up for international infection prevention and control projects to hear what some of our own members have been involved with around the world, looking at projects in Africa, Ecuador, and Haiti will be touched on. There'll be some discussion around how infection control members of Chica can actually get more involved. We've got Carol Goldman doing a small wrap-up of how people can get involved in bringing greetings from IFIC. Also, the concurrent sessions, we have sessions on antibiotic-resistant organisms, we have sessions on new facility development, and we've got speakers coming from across Canada. Again, we've got Jeffrey Taylor showing up from Edmonton. Pam Kipsey, who's on our committee, is doing some discussion of the new construction that went on in Victoria. We've got Dick Zeltman talking about Lean versus Six Sigma, the new quality improvement techniques that are out there. We've also got sessions on looking at human factors that affect patient safety. We brought in a Dr. Chagpar to look at that from the University Health Network in Toronto. Dr. Mike Gardam is talking about how to use culture change and what is positive deviance. We're looking at green infection control. We've got sessions on that. And then more concurrent sessions on the second day. We've got information on how to pass the CIC, what information you have to have under your belt for that. We've got some microbiology sessions looking at organisms that are in the news. We've got more sessions on data management and how to play with your information that you're gathering and make sure that it's presented in such a manner that people understand what you're talking about. Something I should have brought notice to is on Thursday we are also doing a session on I Thought You'd Never Ask, on questions that you've been asked and have basically given you a pause about it, and we're looking for interesting questions that you've had and interesting solutions that you've come up with. And so Dr. Kipsey and myself will be actually presenting the best of those. So we would like members from across Canada to submit their questions. I think the deadline for this is April 12th, 2010. So get your submissions in so that we can take a look at these, and we'll have a fun time with these, I'm sure.
Good. Thank you very much. On the next slide, you see Karen Klinker, Director of Programs and Projects, just re-elected for another term at that post. Karen, over to you.
Just a bit of an update on the CHICA Audit Toolkit. Our current members are Ann Belahowski and myself, who are project co-leads. Mary LeBlanc, Shirley McDonald, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with, and Mary Crystal. And we have been meeting weekly, almost weekly, throughout 2009 and to the present time to try and move the audit tools forward. We have been very fortunate to be working closely with the Standards and Guidelines Committee of CHICA Canada in order to have their review of the audit tools. And that has been occurring through 2009 and 2010 to the present date on a monthly basis and sometimes more often. As part of the audit review process, in addition to the Standards and Guidelines Committee review of the audit tools, we have been having the audit tools going through a review process with individuals with related expertise, and key stakeholders have also been involved. And key stakeholders, in some cases, certainly being our interest groups within CHICA Canada. This toolkit is going to be an evergreen document, and so it will be updated as changes in practice standards occur. And certainly one of the reasons why we have them up on the CHICA website in a downloadable format is so that whenever you go onto the CHICA website, you are going to be working with the most current document available. We currently have 17 audit tools that have been approved through standards and guidelines. Certainly the hand hygiene readiness and practice, PPE, our personal protective equipment. We have 4 hemodialysis tools. We have 4 OR audit tools and others. In addition, we are currently working on about 10 other audits that we hope to have available to you shortly. They probably won't be all ready at the time of the conference, but shortly thereafterwards. And we're looking at dentistry, endoscopy, foot care, pharmacy, pre-hospital care, an ICP self-monitoring tool, construction and renovation, just to name a few. Shirley has been very, very helpful in supporting the further work and keeping us all organized on all of the audit toolkit. And Shirley, if you're on, please feel free to make a comment. So in the audit toolkit on the website, you'll have information on pre-audit preparation, guidelines for using the audit tools, certainly looking at the closing loop process as part of the action planning and audit processes and the documents to go along with that. We do have a risk rating guide and a risk response matrix. That is something that will be new for some of you. There's a glossary and references and an evaluation form to be used with the audits, and we really encourage you, if you use one of our audits, to give us the feedback to let us know if it's meeting your needs, because we want to make sure that these are definitely going to be something that you can use and enhance your program's performance on. We also encourage you to let us know if there's any audit tools not on this list that you think that we need to be looking at. Any contributors providing information on the audit tools or feedback or comments, we will certainly be recognizing those individuals in the acknowledgement section of the toolkit. And just for your information, a session on the audit tools will be held again this year at the National Conference in Vancouver on Monday, May the 31st. At the breakfast session from 7 a.m. to 7:45 a.m. So maybe keep a note of that on your schedule. The process is also underway for the CHICA Audit Toolkit Committee to submit informational articles on the auditing process, and this will be covered in the spring, summer, and fall editions of the Canadian Journal for Infection Control. So definitely some more information for you on the auditing process. Just some reminders. We would like you to certainly come by the CHICA booth at the National Conference. We will have a display copy of the Chica Audit Toolkit with all of the current tools and supporting documents so you can see what it looks like when it's all printed out. We will also have CD copies of the Chica Audit Toolkit available for $30 for Chica members at the conference and $50 plus shipping and handling after the conference if they're being sent to you. And these discs will allow you to print off all of the documents related to Chica Audit Toolkit, all the current documents, in a form that you can actually work in. You can download them off the disk onto your computer. You can work within them. And at present time, when you download off the Chica website, you get a copy of the audit tool, but not something that you can currently work within. So that is what the CD copies of the Chica Audit Toolkit will let you do. There will be free travel drives available at the Chica booth again this year, and they will contain infection prevention and control games and songs that have been submitted by Chica members. And there will be a prize draw for any of those that who have submitted the games and song submissions to be put on the travel drive, and this will occur at the conference. The travel drives will also contain a link to Dr. Bonnie Henry's new book, Soap and Water, Common Sense, for purchasing information if you're interested in that publication. And there will be special signed copies of Dr. Bonnie Henry's book as prize draws at the Chica booth. And so that's a quick summary on some of the other activities within the programs and projects portfolio.
Thank you very much, Karen. That's a lot of work gone into that, and I'm glad to see there's a lot of Canadian toolkits out there now. There have been some British and American ones available for a while, but they didn't fit really well into our system, so these are outstanding. Thank you for that. Next guest today, I don't have a picture of this fellow, but his slides say that he will be talking about the ARO Point Prevalence Study. His name is Dr. Oscar Larios, and he joins us from Mount Sinai. Dr. Larios, over to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. First of all, I want to thank everybody at Chica for allowing us the opportunity to present this study that I hope you'll find just as important as we do. As you all know, antibiotic-resistant organisms are what we do and what we're most interested in. So I'll move on to the next slide. Actually, first of all, I'd like to point out that my email is there, so if you have any questions afterwards, feel free to email me. So moving on to the next slide. So I know I'm preaching to the converted already, but these are just motherhood statements that are important to make, just to let you know as to why we're doing this study, first of all. Now, the first statement there, that the emergence of AROs is a major public health concern, particularly in healthcare, is a no-brainer. This is why you do what you do every day. And secondly, a high prevalence of AROs leads to increased length of hospital stay and bed blocking in healthcare facilities. And, I mean, you guys are all on the front lines and are well aware of this, and so you know that AROs leads to problems in healthcare facilities. You are probably aware as well of the Canadian Nosocomial Infection Surveillance Program that is out there that presently does surveillance for a number of things out there. And they do great things, mind you, but the problem is that presently they focus on large tertiary care centers, which is a large portion of what goes on out there, but we also don't know what goes on in smaller centers, which is in large part why we decided to go ahead with this venture and try and do this ARO point prevalence study. Now, if you move on to the next slide, it's a little bit more of the whole purpose of doing this this study. So firstly, it's to generate some baseline data about AROs and teaching, and as well, obviously, as non-teaching hospitals, large and small, as well as urban and rural hospitals in Canada. So we want to get more of a picture of what's going on throughout the country, regardless of what the size is. Next, we want to focus on the burden of illness associated with the three major antibiotic-resistant pathogens, MRSA, VRE, and C. diff. We know there's a lot of other organisms out there, but most organizations have a way of tracking these, and obviously we can't do all the organisms all at once. So this is a way to start things off. Nextly, the data will obviously assist in defining the burden of AROs in Canadian hospitals and support the prioritization of prevention programs. And that's ultimately what we hope will come out of all this, is that, you know, this will help all these organizations in the future, not just for prioritization, but also will give you some sort of a benchmark as how you're comparing to everybody else, which I'll touch upon a little bit later on. So the next slide are the main objectives for this study. We have obviously both primary and secondary objectives. The primary objectives are as follows. The first one is to determine the prevalence of MRSA and VRE colonization and infection among adult hospitalized in Canadian acute care hospitals. So that's something that I want to point out is that this study has only to do with adults. We're staying out of the pediatric realm for now. Secondly, the next primary point is that it's to determine the prevalence of C. difficile infection among adults hospitalized in Canadian hospitals. So pretty much what I said before, MRSA, VRE, C. diff, that's what we're focusing on. Next are the secondary objectives that we have in mind, and that would be to describe the demographic and select clinical epidemiological features of patients with prevalent MRSA, VRE, C. diff infections in Canadian hospitals. And next is to determine the institutional characteristics that are associated with MRSA, VRE, and C. diff infection rates. So how are we going to do this? Well, if you move on to the next slide, there's a little bit about our method. So what we're planning on doing is approaching all 406 acute care hospitals that are presently in Canada that have at least 50 inpatient beds. They will be approached, and the eligible patients, like I said, will be anybody who's an adult, which you know, mostly is defined as greater than 18 years of age, but we know that some institutions out there use different cutoffs, and that's all right, but we're just focusing on adults, and that's the main drive behind this. So the eligible patients in the participating hospitals on the day of the survey. Now, a one-day point prevalence survey is going to be conducted on any day between November 8th to the 21st. Ideally, it would be nice if we could just pick one day and everybody to do that day, but we know that that's just not possible. Everybody has different schedules, and so we're going to allow hospitals to pick any day that's most convenient between that range of dates. And the next slide just shows you how we're going to end up doing this. So we're going to have two data collection tools, the first one being a hospital questionnaire and the next one being a patient questionnaire. Now, the hospital questionnaire will just be a one-time thing. You let us know about your hospital. There's a total of 24 questions. Some of the examples of the questions that we're asking are straightforward things like the number of beds, what services the hospital provides, any sort of cleaning policies that the hospital might have, and the number of MRSA patients last that they had the year previous. So that one's pretty straightforward, as well as their patient questionnaire is relatively straightforward as well. We'll have one for each patient depending on what the patient has on that day, whether it's MRSA, VRE, or C. difficile infections. And there'll be 13 questions to answer for each patient. Many of them straightforward, like age, gender, and whether they're in a private room or not, and that sort of thing. So we also want to get an idea of, you know, what the differences in infection control practices are throughout the country. So what are we going to do with that? If you move on to the next slide, we're going to manage the data centrally. Okay. Well, what that means is that everything's going to come towards our way, and all the hospitals are going to be coded, okay, and all the files are going to be password protected and stored on secure servers. So what that means is that there's no access to it unless you're part of the study team while the data is being collected, and that assures anonymity. Once the analysis is all complete, though, each hospital will receive their own summary of their hospital. They'll be compared to all the other hospitals, and as well as hospitals with similar profiles to them. So if they're a rural hospital, they'll be compared to rural hospitals, and you get the idea. The one thing that we want to stress, though, is that none of the data will allow anyone else to identify your hospital. Okay, so if you get your data and you feel like sharing it with everybody else, that's fine. But when we provide your data to somebody else to compare them to you, that's all going to be blinded, so they'll have no idea that you belong to them. And the plan, obviously, in the end, will be to publish these results in a scientific medical journal, which is usually the goal of most of these studies, right? And so I want to wrap it up by just showing you the rest of the ARO prevalence study team. Dr. Andrew Seymour, he's the principal investigator behind all this, as well as myself. Dr. Brenda Coleman, she's here at Mount Sinai, and as well as Denise Gravel from the Public Health Agency of Canada. And as well, you've already heard about the two Chica co-investigators, who we thank greatly for joining our team and giving us the opportunity to spread the word out. And then Dr. Allison McGeer, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, as well as Ms. Christine Moore and Dr. Carl Weiss.
Dr. Larios, thank you very much. It's quite a big task you've undertaken. It's a good thing, but you have some very, very talented help there.
Paul, it's Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
I wonder if I could ask Dr. Larios, what is the estimated date that we would be able to announce that the survey is ready access?
We are planning around mid-April. That's
Thanks.
Our goal at the moment.
Right. And it will conclude when?
We will run the actual point prevalence between November 8th to the 21st, and that would be the date chosen by the each facility.
Right.
And following that, we'd strive to wrap up everything and do all the data analysis within a month's time, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
as long as everything works like it should.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And your email address is on slide 11. So if anyone has specific questions, I presume then that it's all right for them to contact you directly.
Definitely.
Great. Now, late last year, two or three of the respondents, when I set out a question, what teleclass topics would you be interested in for 2010? One of the people, or two or three, sent back that they would like to hear more about the CSA guidelines, the new guidelines they put out for sterilization disinfection. And I could not find anyone from CSA who would speak to that in time to get it in the schedule for this year. However, we did track down a very high-level person who is involved in these standards and development of them, who was willing to speak to us during the Voices of Chica teleclass, and that high-level person is Susan Lafferty. So, Sue, I will turn it over to you.
Hi, everyone. This is Sue Lafferty from Edmonton, and thank you for your invitation for me to provide it. Is what I'm going to call an update on the CSA sterilization standards. And I just have to point out that the CSA does not write guidelines, it writes standards of practice, which are somewhat different from guidelines. Guidelines are more suggestive of practice, whereas standards really do and should direct practice. And often standards can be mandatory, but CSA standards in themselves in the sterilization realm are not mandatory. They are voluntary standards. So there's no one compelling us from CSA to follow these standards. However, in recent months and years, these standards have been reference standards by different bodies such as PIDAC and more recently Accreditation Canada. So that's what empowers these standards. I've been fortunate enough to have been working on CSA sterilization standards since about 1990, which is quite a long time. And at that time, I was asked to represent CHICA on the CSA sterilization standards committee. I'm not the only infection control practitioner who is involved, however, in the sterilization standards. And Claire Berry, Linda Kingsbury, Pauline Fallis, and more recently Pat Piaskowski all participate on the technical committee for sterilization standards. So I'm right now looking at the third slide on page 7 of your handout, and I'm just going to differentiate what is involved in CSA standards. As you know, CSA writes standards for many, many practices and businesses in our country, everything from plumbing to electricity. There is a special category of standards that are called healthcare standards. And the one area I'm involved in are the sterilization standards, and that's the Z314 series. And there are 25 standards for reprocessing of medical devices encompassed in that series. Okay, and the examples are steam sterilization, warehousing, and I'm sure you're familiar with all of the other titles. There is another area of practice where infection control has been involved quite actively, and those are the Z317 series, which are healthcare facility engineering and physical plant standards, and that includes the HVAC documents and infection control and construction, and I won't be addressing those today. I want to go to the next slide. What I thought I'd do is just give you an idea of how to read a CSA standards title, because there's a lot of numbers involved, and someone will tell you, go refer to the Z314.3 document, and that isn't exactly intuitive. So when you look at the title on any CSA standard, I'll just break it down for you. And there is, it usually starts off with a CAN/CSA. And CAN means it's a national standard of Canada and approved by the Standards Council of Canada. And usually that indicates that the standard is available in both French and English. Okay. CSA, it means Canadian Standards Association. And the series of standards, as I had indicated, for sterilization or reprocessing is Z314. And then there's a point or a dot, and the document is numbered. And I've just given an example of point 3 here. And the name of the point 3 standard is Effective Sterilization in Healthcare Facilities by the STEAM process. And then there's a dash and 09, and that's the year the standard was published. So that's sort of the key to interpreting a CSA standard title when you just look at the numbers. If you go to the next slide, I just wanted to share with you that CSA has been involved with a mandate to harmonize with international standards, and has been working quite closely with ISO, which is the International Organization for Standardization, and through the years has adopted many ISO standards that maybe we didn't have existing standards for in Canada, and we couldn't see the need to develop a Canadian document, as an ISO standard would often speak to the issues in Canada. This has been very useful for not so much users of standards, but for manufacturers of medical devices and reprocessing equipment, because harmonization really does enable them to meet a single standard across the globe rather than having to manufacture differently for standards in every country or continent. And the example I give you on that slide is the CSA Z17664-06, which is sterilization of medical devices, information to be provided by the manufacturer for the reprocessing of re-sterilizable medical devices. And this has been a very useful document when we're asking manufacturers for their instructions for reprocessing medical devices, as this provides them with guidance as to exactly what we're going to need when we ask for that standard. On the next slide, I've listed some of the more frequently used CSA sterilization standards, and I'll just let you know that the three on this page, the point 2, effective sterilization in healthcare facilities by the ethylene oxide process, the point 3, effective sterilization in healthcare facilities by the steam process, and the point 8, decontamination of reusable medical devices, have all been recently updated and published. And I just wanted to point out to you that when the point 3, the STEAM document, was published in 2009, it incorporated Z314.13, the emergency flash sterilization document. So the information in the flash document is now part of the STEAM document, and the flash document has been withdrawn, so it's no longer available. On the next slide, adding to the list of frequently used CSA standards, the Z314.10 document, which was in 2003 selection use, maintenance, and laundering of reusable textile wrappers, surgical gowns, and drapes for healthcare facilities, has been split off into two documents in 2010. And this document has just been recently published and released. And it's now been broken down into two pieces. One is selection and use of gowns, drapes, and wrappers in healthcare facilities. So that would include all textiles, both single and multiple use products. And then the point two part of that document has actually extracted out the reprocessing requirements for multiple use surgical textiles. Okay, that's just to clarify what's happened with that one. On the next slide, point 14 document, selection and use of rigid sterilization containers. That document is currently under revision but has not been finalized or published and should be released probably by the end of this year. The warehousing, storage, and transportation of clean and sterile medical devices, the second on the list on that page, has just been released as a revised document. And I just wanted to let you know that, to me, this is a very special document, the warehousing document, as the first edition of that document came out as part of a request from some members of CHICA who went to their warehousing facility and were looking for standards for how medical devices should be warehoused and found there were none. So they approached CSA and through a formal request from CHICA, Standards and Guidelines, CSA embarked upon the work of creating this document in 2003, and it's really been a very useful document. There were many ICPs involved with writing this document at that time. And the third document on that page is Z314.22, a 2004 document, which is also in stages of revision, and that is management of loan, shared, and leased medical devices. On the next page, I've grouped the biological and chemical indicator standards. And as you can see, all of these are, in essence, ISO documents because the numbering makes them look like ISO documents. When you see that the numbering has a longer number, Canada CSA Z11138-1.07, Biological Indicators Part 1, General Requirements, and the Z14161, Biological Indicators Guidance for the Selection, Use, and Interpretation of Results. And below there are two other documents for chemical indicators, which have been adopted from ISO. I'd just like to tell you that the General Requirements documents for BIs and CIs are in essence quite technical manufacturers' standards. But the second in the series, the guidance documents, are very helpful to users, particularly those who are purchasing and creating specifications for what you would like to see in a BI or a CI when you're going to obtain it for use in your facility, and how to use these indicators for sterility maintenance assurance and interpret them. On the next page, I've listed the recently adopted washer disinfector standards, which are ISO standards that have been adopted from ISO by CSA for application in Canada. And there are five parts to the washer disinfector standards. It's quite a tome when you start reading through it. And these are these washer disinfector standards are manufacturing standards that have enabled manufacturers to create washer disinfectors that meet international standards. And because these have been adopted for use in Canada, it's actually something that if you're purchasing washer disinfectors, you can request that manufacturers be in compliance with these standards. And I'll just go through the five parts quickly. Part one is a general document. It's sort of a horizontal document that from which stem all the other parts of the document. And these are the general requirements, terms, definitions, and tests for washer disinfectors in general. Part two is more specific and lists requirements and tests for washer disinfectors that employ thermal disinfection for surgical instruments, anesthetic equipment, bowls, dishes, receivers, utensils, glassware, etc. So that's typically the washer disinfector that you would use to clean and low-level disinfect devices within a reprocessing department so that they can be handled safely prior to sterilization. Okay, and I must add that the anesthetic equipment listed there is not for terminal disinfection. It's just this is just a disinfection and cleaning step to prepare the devices for further processing for patient use. Part three of the washer disinfector standards are requirements and tests for washer disinfectors employing thermal disinfection for human waste containers. And that is for essentially bedpan washers. And there are some Canadian deviations to that standard that actually require stricter requirements for human waste containers that would be required possibly in the European market. We were fortunate to have Dr. Michelle Alpha working on some of these ISO committees, and she has made these recommendations to ISO. So likely the ISO documents will change when they are revised, which is a five-year cycle. The 15883-4 document is requirements and tests for washer disinfectors employing disinfection for thermolabile endoscopes, and there's a typo on that slide, and that should be chemical disinfection of thermolabile endoscopes. And the last part in the series that's been adopted by Canada is a document called Test Soils and Methods for Demonstrating Cleaning Efficacy. And this is essentially a compendium of all the test soils that exist or that have been submitted to ISO. So for many years there's been a real effort made to standardize a universal test soil so that indicators for monitoring cleaning efficacy can be developed in a standardized fashion. However, that has not yet been agreed upon. So as it stands right now, each country or continent may have their own preferred test soil, and manufacturers must meet that requirement when they manufacture washer disinfector for a certain market. And it's not a global standard. And last but not least, there are some works in progress occurring at CSA. Currently, they are in the throes of drafting a new CSA standard for chemical sterilization of reusable medical devices in healthcare facilities. And that will include processes such as vaporized hydrogen peroxide, hydrogen peroxide gas plasma, peracetic acid, any chemical sterilization process that occurs in a reprocessing unit that is designed for sterilization. And the work that's going on is quite feverish at this time, with an anticipated publication date of January next year. On the ISO front, there is a guidance document on product families that is being developed for steam sterilization purposes, and this is intended to assist healthcare facilities performing steam sterilization as to how they can group instruments and configurations of instrumentation for assembling of loads within a steam sterilizer to perhaps in future enable more standardization of load configuration, because this has been suggested for many years to enable us to actually ensure our loads are more homogeneous within a healthcare facility, but guidance has never been provided on how you might go about and do that. And as part of the washer disinfector series, there is a draft standard for cart washers that is not yet finalized. On the last page, I've just provided a link to the CSA online stores where standards can be purchased. There's lists of standards, and they can be purchased as an online subscription, either in bundles or individually. If you get an online subscription, it can potentially be shared amongst different users in your organization, or they can be purchased as hard copies and individually. Buyers of standards automatically receive updates or amendments to the existing purchased standards. So even though I know there are a lot of photocopied and pirated standards copies out there, I think the disadvantage to having a photocopied standard is that you will not be on the distribution if there is an amendment to that standard. So that's just a caution. So thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'm not sure, Paul, if there's any time for questions.
Well, thank you, Sue. In fact, we don't have time for questions, but if people have questions for you and they don't know your email address, perhaps they could forward them on to Jerry, and Jerry could distribute them accordingly.
That would be fine, and I'm also in the Chica directory as well, so all my coordinates are in there.
All right.
Paul, just to remind everybody that Susan is part of a panel at pre-conference day on sterilization to discuss CSA standards and any issues. It's going to be a really interesting panel discussion.
Good. And Jerry, could you give your email again?
Yes, it's one word, small case, chicacanada@mts.net.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone who gave a presentation today. Of course, thanks to Jerry Hansen, who brings all this stuff together, and it seems so effortless for her to do so. She's a tremendous administrator, or the goddess of administration, as I like to say.
Which is why I'll never have a webcam, Paul.
Thanks very much as well to the companies that are noted on the last slide for their financial and moral support. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. The next Voices of Chica teleclass is scheduled for September the 28th. You can register for that right now and beat the rush. And thanks again to everyone. We'll talk again very soon. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Paul. Bye-bye.